So my name is Carrie Langemeyer. Don't even try to spell that last name. It took most of my kids to like fourth grade to figure that out. When in doubt, put an E in. So first and foremost, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That is my identity. That is who I am. Hallelujah. Secondly, I am the wife to Craig Dutch Langemeyer, who has been at Pine Cove for 21 years. So yes, I have raised my children here. If you ever have the blessing of meeting one of my five children, do not think highly of me at all, because these college students, 1,500 college students that we get to go all over the country and hire, they disciple my children. So when mom is not cool, awesome. Just go run after one of those counselors. This is not at all anything I've done. So I have also labored and delivered five very large children. My first one was almost 10 pounds, all natural, yes. Mm-hmm. I seriously wanted to die. I don't know why I had four more, but I did. I really do love it, but it has been the hardest thing I've ever done because I had no model, which I'll get into that a little later. But my children have parented me. Really, really, and truly they have. We also have the incredible privilege of being here at Pine Cove, and I have this incredible passion to pour into and mentor women, because I am also a beggar just looking for bread. I might just be a few steps ahead of somebody in this room. That's it. So I want all of you, for just a moment, I put note cards on the tables. Grab one of the colored note cards. If you don't have one, grab a piece of paper that you have in a notebook or something. If you don't have note cards on your table, yours are green. And if you don't have enough, maybe ask another table. Did you get one? Okay. Does everybody have something to write on? Piece of paper, something. Okay. Extra note cards right here. Anybody need some? Yellow? Anyone? Okay. Any extra? What is one? Okay. Share the note cards over here. So I want you to take the front of this note card and I want you to write. I want you to just take 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's it. I want you to write on the front of this note card or on a piece of paper. I want you to write a letter, a memo, a text, if you will, to yourself from God right now. Okay? What would God say to you right now, today, Saturday, March 5th, 2016? It can be two or three sentences, 2 minutes. Don't stress about it. There's no right or wrong. So put Dear Carrie, unless your name's not Carrie. For those of you that just walked in, we are writing a quick note to ourselves from God. All right, go ahead and close that up. And I just put a picture up on the screen. This is my family. On the left is Hayden. She works here at the Shores as a counselor. This will be her second summer. Next to me is Avery. They are freshmen and sophomore in college at University of Arkansas. Go Pigs. Far right is Austin. I know his hair, he looks a little like Jesus when it's down and really curly. He graduates from Wheaton College in May, and then he will start full-time at our Silverado camp down at Crier Creek. And then the two little boys in the front with the bow ties is what I call my redo. I had a 7-year gap, and I had an ectopic, had scar tissue, couldn't get pregnant. I went, great, 3 is a great number. It's a biblical number. I'm so happy. And then I was 37, and I ended up pregnant. Oh, really, Lord? I was just about to get a life back. Okay, well, I said to my husband, okay, we're going to have another one. We have to have a 5th. He needs a playmate. And he's like, really? No. I said, yes, yes. So by God's grace, 2 boys at the end. It is so much fun. So Hayden, Avery, Austin, Beck is the little guy in the white coat, and Noah. So Noah and Beck are in elementary, 3 in college, 2 in elementary. It's awesome. It really is. So a couple weeks ago, Hayden and Avery, they're going to a thing called Nerd Prom, right? Nerd Prom for Kappa. So they call me, Mom, I need those dresses out of your closet. Those dresses that you wore to like the rehearsal dinner and your going away outfit 25 years ago that you thought was so cool when you flew on a plane with Dad for your honeymoon. I was like, seriously? I mean, I don't know how to feel about this. You want to wear my dresses as nerd? Yes, we do. So I did send them, but this is a picture, the next one of, okay, that's Hayden and Austin in high school. She literally was pulling, late 80s, early 90s. But I really wore that dress on the plane flying to Grand Cayman, and I thought I looked great. What was I thinking? Who does that? Anyway, I did, and I had purple shoes to match, you guys. Oh, yeah, okay. So you guys are saying to yourself, self, why in the world would Carrie keep those dresses that are 25 years old in her closet? That is a little bit crazy. You are right, it is a little bit crazy. But the reality is, one of my biggest struggles in life has been my closet. Okay, I'm letting you into my junk right now. I cannot keep my closet clean. Well, I really can't keep my whole house clean, but my closet is the worst, okay? Because that's the one area I really don't show people when you come over. So this is what I want my closet to look like. Oh, wait, my bad. That's it. Hayden and Awesome when they're little. That's what I want my closet to look like. Oh, Pinterest, go away. Seriously. Okay, anybody else dream of that? Like, really? Is that real life? Does anybody live that way? I have one woman in my Bible study, and she said, my closet really does look that like that. And I'm like, do you have a life? Okay, but this is what my closet actually looks like. This is not my actual closet, but it's pretty close. Okay? This is me. Now, I have grown a lot in this, which I'm going to talk about. But I am terrible at hanging on to things that I shouldn't hang on to. I look at them and I say, oh, I paid good money for that, but I don't like it. So then I feel guilty and I feel ashamed. So I don't want to get rid of it. I feel like I'm being a bad steward. Anybody else there with me? So for me, my closet has always been a source of angst. And my sweet husband, when we moved our stuff into the closet, he said, I want the front half because I can actually get to my stuff. You have the back half because your stuff covers the floor, Carrie. You can't even get to your stuff. I'm like, I know, I'm working on it, babe. I'm working on it, okay? So we look at the stuff in our closet, and we think, huh, those used to fit me. Maybe I'll get there again someday, right? So Japanese author Marie Kondo, I think that's how you say it, she has sold over 4 million copies of a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Has anybody in here read it? I had never heard of it, okay? I just read about this in Success Magazine. I thought, okay, this has been my life struggle. How have I not heard of this? But here's what she says the secret to tidying is. She says to do it in one shot as quickly and completely as possible, and you have to start by discarding. Okay, here's what she says. You hold up any item, and you say, does this bring me joy? Does this bring me joy? And if it doesn't, you know what she does? She chunks it. The woman owns 4 necklaces. No joke. I was like, oh, that is convicting. Okay, so, and this is what she says. She says, in order to do this process, you lay stuff out on the floor. So I was reading about this lady that she had all these shoes laid out on the floor. And she said, because this is what Kondo says, lay them out on the floor, expose them to the light. Okay, expose your stuff to the light. And then it's going to jolt yourself into acknowledging, does this bring me joy? Is this useful in my life? Okay, I have so much stuff that should go. I just need a pod, right? And just stick it in there. So about 8 years ago, you guys, I hit a wall. And I finally addressed, I was 40. And I had spent my life just moving piles around, okay? My year for the year was joy, because I knew as much as I intellectually got the whole concept of joy, I knew in my heart that I did not have joy unshakable. Okay? So it's interesting that as I started praying for joy and I do a word study on the word, this is what God did in my life that year. I never would have connected these two, but this is what he did. He finally, through the help of my husband and the Holy Spirit, helped me to realize, okay, Carrie, you cannot manage very much stuff. You're just not capable. It's not the gifts I gave you. It's okay. So I finally called a friend who's very orderly. I used to hate going to her house. I would tell her, I leave your house and I just want to cry. I feel so ashamed. Everybody else has a clean house, but not me. So I actually asked her into my mess. And I said, would you be willing to come over one day a week, all summer long, and we will tackle one room at a time? Yeah. And she did. And she was exactly what I needed. But you know how hard that was? I literally opened up my embarrassing mess to a friend that I knew loved me. That took humility. God was so incredibly faithful. I do not have time to tell you in this setting how much he did in my life that year. And it wasn't just because of my decluttering, but it really made me think about that's what's in my physical closet. What is in my inmost parts? Okay, what's in my thought closet? So I grew up in an emotionally, physically, and sexually abusive home. I grew up in St. Louis, had never set foot in a church, never heard the gospel, never heard the word God, nothing. My dad somehow heard about a camp, Kanakuk. It was a sports camp. My dad played football in college. So you're going to go to a sports camp for a month. They stuck me on a bus for a month. I was 10. Would anybody else do that? Now, as a mom, I'm like, wow, my mom really needed that break. That was nice for her. Seriously. But, y'all, I got there, and I heard the gospel. I can tell you where I was sitting. It was July 10th, 1977. It was a Sunday night. It was really hot and humid. Richard Beach spoke, and he shared the gospel. Now, you are talking about a child that literally had no filter for anything. I wasn't a child that had ever heard a Bible story. I knew that I knew that I knew that that was true. That I had a daddy that loved me, that didn't want to hurt me, that I could depend on. Now, this was earth-shattering for me. But the hard part was I got picked up at the end of the month. I cried all the way back to St. Louis, and I went right back into that toxic environment. I did not know one other believer in my life. I went to secular school. But here's the cool thing. I asked my mom to go buy me a Bible. We had to look it up in the yellow pages, find out where a Bible bookstore was. And I had a Bible on my nightstand. And I read it every night. I had no idea what I was reading, but I kept sticking in the Gospels, right? Because I thought, okay, if I could just learn about Jesus and what he said, it's a pretty good place to start. So after I got back from camp, seventh grade, my parents started going through a three-year custody battle divorce, yucky, gross, as though puberty isn't already hard enough. Then my parents' divorce was finalized. I thought we lost everything. We had no money, four teenage kids. We moved into a tiny little apartment. My mom worked three jobs. I thought, okay, new start. And then 3 months later, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. And she was my everything. Because when you're a little kid and your mom's being abused, you tell yourself, I want to protect her. And If any of you know about melanoma stage 4, there's really nothing you can do about it. But she fought for 3 years. And she died in 1987. She was 43 years old and left 4 teenage children. And we had no relationship with our dad. But the great thing is, my mom did not lose that battle. She won because 2 years before that, she'd gone to church with me. And she walked down the aisle at a Presbyterian church, and she surrendered her life to Jesus. And so I did know that, like, her battle, she had victory. But it didn't feel that way. It didn't feel that way for a 19-year-old who had a really small understanding of who God was. I could not wrap my mind around how God could be good when I was living in Virginia by myself with nobody that knew me, knew my family, knew nothing, and I was really alone. So, fast forward, I went to a discipleship program after I graduated from college. I was going to go to law school. I went to William & Mary and played field hockey. And instead of going to law school, I said, you know what? I need to study the Bible. I mean, I had never been around Christians, really. So I went to a discipleship program. That's where I met my husband. We lived in residence homes for troubled teenagers. It's a lot like the Forge that we have here at Pine Cove. So 24 years old, I get married. First safe, really safe relationship I've been in my life, right? We're in full-time ministry, youth ministry, 500 junior and high school kids. And all of a sudden, what's in my thought closet, what's in my heart, the brokenness that I had shoved down for 24 years, decided to erupt like a volcano all over my husband who did not deserve it. It was ugly, y'all. I didn't know how to communicate. The emotions that were so strong that I had stuffed because there was nowhere safe to go with them just erupted. So by God's grace, we did run to a counselor. We did ask people for help. I thought, I cannot live this way. And God does not overwhelm us all at the same time. He's so kind. He like helps us work through one thing at a time, but it's been a long process is all I have to say. But God has been so faithful. So when I was 26, I had my first child, Austin. And I remember, I didn't even realize what was in my closet, my thought closet, okay? But if this is where your expectations are, you guys, and this is where your reality is, I want you to know what all this in between is. It's called disappointment. Many of you have heard this, okay? You know where I lived? I lived in disappointment. In myself, in my husband, in my child. I mean, it made no sense. It made no sense. I didn't even realize that I had these crazy high expectations of what it looked like to be a Christian woman, wife, mother. I don't even know where I got them, but they were there, and they were so firmly planted that I was paralyzed. I wasn't having joy. So here, I'm going to tell you what was in my thought closet, okay? I'm just being completely vulnerable. These are some of the things that just play. This was the soundtrack. I should always have a hot day dinner on the table at 6. I don't know where I got that. My house should always be clean and orderly. That was not the reality of my life. My laundry should be mostly done. I grew up in a house where the laundry room was about this high with clothes. Like, we would just go like this to find what we needed, okay? I had no skill set in this stuff. I should always want to have, as we would always say, sex with my husband, because we didn't want to say the word around our son, so it was so funny. He was like 6 years old, and my sister was going through the alphabet with him, A, B, and she got to S, and he goes, sex. Oh my goodness, they really do listen to everything you say. So, the outside of my house should be like relatively landscaped. I mean, I don't know. I live in the woods, so it doesn't really matter. But I should work out at least 3 days a week. Yeah, no, that wasn't happening. I should homeschool my children if I really love Jesus. My children should always obey me. This was such an unrealistic expectation, you guys. I don't know where I got that, especially in public when other people were looking, right? I mean, we were in ministry. Don't you think people expected us to be perfect? I should dress my children reasonably well and preferably coordinated. So that's what this picture was for. Mm-hmm. We lived on the ranch property. We had a dirt driveway, and I mean, I'm not kidding when I tell you they were covered in dirt every day. I mean, if they got clothes on, I felt pretty good about myself. Oops. So, I should get up at 5:30 on my quiet time so that I can be a spirit-led mom and not an angry, reactive mom. Okay? So this is one of my favorite quotes I'm going to share with y'all. Do not think I'm cussing. That's why I put it up here. But this is something I want you guys to leave with here today. Don't shit all over yourselves. Do not shit all over yourselves. I said should. I said should. I promise. Oh, this is being taped. Anyway, it's S-H-O-U-L-D. Should. Okay? How many of us live in should? Okay? That is the soundtrack. I cannot tell you. I get to have one-on-ones with moms all week long. This is just what I do. This is my passion. This is my heartbeat. I told the Lord, when my children are in school, which I had kids at home for 20 years, when my children went to school, I want to have margin, and I want to come alongside of young moms who are drowning like I was for so many years, and I want to encourage them. I want to give them hope. I want to pray for them. I want to give them things that will help them not just be buried, and that is what I do with my week. I have one thing I have to do, and that is I teach a Bible study in our church. Other than that, it's just margin. Lord, what do you want for me this week? Who do you want my path to cross with? So let me tell you what the reality of my life was. I am absolutely terrible at planning meals. I am not a forethinker. I'm a people person. So Craig would call as he's leaving, and he would say, "So, babe, what's for dinner?" Mm-hmm. Can you imagine my response? I don't know. I mean, it's like 5:30. I don't know. I've been changing diapers all day. I don't know. Cereal? My 1,500-square-foot house was 1,400 square feet a mess. Mm-hmm. I'm terrible at laundry. Still, to this day, I do not like putting it away. I mean, I'm pretty proud if I get it washed and maybe dried. Yeah. That's about as long, far as I get. Yeah. I literally do not like to exercise. I'm not kidding. I even played sports in college. If I was on a team, I don't want to go out and run. That's not fun. Maybe, I'm sorry for those of you who are runners in here. I apologize. I tried homeschooling for 8 years, and let me just tell you, it wasn't pretty. Now, I do love playing with my children a lot, and I love playing games. But when my 9-year-old couldn't read, I thought, this is not working so well. We might need to take him to school. So they tested him. He was in third grade, and they're like, yeah, we think you should probably put him in second. Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. I definitely do not have a green thumb, and the outside of my house is never where, you know, looking nice. I'm like, just excuse all the weeds. It's just not my thing. So my children were always covered in mud, dirt, water, snot, food, or markers. I knew that it was really bad when my sweet, well-intending friend Amy Palella said to me, how do you ever get your kids' clothes clean? Like, I have never seen children who get so dirty. I was like, "What? How am I supposed to respond to that? I mean, is that a compliment or?" But the thing was, you guys, I wasn't okay with it. I'm not like, now I'm okay with it. I don't care. But then, as a new mom, I was so ashamed. Why can't I get it together? What is wrong with me? I have a brain. I'm relatively intelligent. I didn't have the skill set. I think I was so paralyzed by all my shoulds and all this record that played in my head. And I have never been awake at 5:30 a.m. unless I was feeding an infant and going right back to sleep. Okay? It is just not who I am. I'm a night owl. I am not a morning person. My husband is. It's not who I'm going to be. It took me a long time to show myself freedom and say, you know what? I have all these little kids. I need the sleep or else I get sick. So what I do at 10 a.m. or what, not that I get up at 10, but some days I might. But I had a prayer chair and I would sit there and I'd get my little kitchen timer and I'd put it for 15 minutes and I would get my Bible and I would tell all of them to sit there. You can have one toy or one book and nobody's talking for 15 minutes. No one is saying a word because this is mommy's time with Jesus. Not a word or you're getting a spanking. And y'all, they obeyed. That's what worked for me when I had young kids. And I'm sorry if that sounds unspiritual, but it's just that's how I made it work. So these were the articles of clothing that I had to put on every day. So you can imagine, here were my expectations and here was my reality. I remember sitting in bed one night and I said to my husband, with all honesty, I am such a failure. He looked at me. I mean, I'd probably said that word to myself 1,000 times. That was maybe the first time I said it out loud. He looked at me and he's like, seriously? Do you really, the word failure, Carrie? And I said, yes. And he goes, I mean, that word would never come in my mind. And that was like one of my first hints, like something's wrong with the way I'm thinking. Now, I'm not blaming my dad, who was a performance-driven alcoholic and you could not earn his love. I'm not blaming him because I'm an adult, right? I have the Holy Word. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I have truth. But I had not recognized. I hadn't gotten my junk out of the closet and put it in the light, right? To see what was really in my closet. So when I actually began this process of looking at what was really inside of here, it was ugly. So there I am living in disappointment with myself. Not only myself, but, you know, my husband and children too, but I'm not going to go off on all that. So this is pretty much what I said to myself most days. Carrie, you are so messy. Every other woman in the world manages her home. You are the only one. I don't know why God gave me three of my closest friends are like fanatical clean. Well, I kind of thought everybody was like that, that I was the only one that could not quite manage to keep up with this stuff. I also often said, you are such a failure. You're probably going to ruin your children. You're going to pass down the same junk that you got from your family of origin, and you're just going to just heap it all over your children. I also would often, without even knowing it, say, you're so broken. You're so broken, and your kids are going to be just as broken as you are. No wonder Craig works so hard at camp, and he works 80 hours a week. Why would he want to come home to a dripping faucet like you, right? These are the things. You'll never overcome your struggle with anger, Carrie. I believed that, but I really wanted to. I didn't want to talk to my kids the way my dad talked to me, but I was, because I wanted them, because I had these unrealistic expectations. So when they didn't obey me or do what I really thought they should, I mean, at one point I finally realized my children are not 22-year-old Pine Cove counselors when they were 8. But I wanted them to act like one, right? It doesn't happen that way. But for whatever reason, I hadn't quite addressed that. And then the shame that I just felt that made no sense whatsoever when somebody came over to my house and walked into my messes. Shame, if you've never struggled with shame, it is debilitating. Like, you act in ways that you think, I don't know who that person is, but that was just really ugly. So my closet was filled with clothes that didn't fit, right? They didn't fit. They weren't realistic. It's like, while you guys are here, somebody goes home, takes all your clothes out of your closet, right? Now, that would be awesome if they replace them with stuff you love. But let's say they go home and they replace it with somebody else's stuff that is a completely different size than you. So this is what I feel like. Even though, and I was maybe a size 8, what was in my closet was like a 0. And I was trying to squeeze myself into this unrealistic, like, image of what I thought I should be. That is no way to live. But I tried. So how do we clean out the closets, the lies that are in our head that just play all day long? So I have great news for us. God tells us. I believe with my whole heart that any question you have in your life, you can find the answer in God's word. Any question. There is nothing. And y'all, here's the thing. Don't be embarrassed if you don't know the answer. Let's say your kids ask you something, somebody else. You don't have to know. You say, I know where to go. And you go. And you take your kids there and you show them. Get on the computer if you have internet. We really don't. We live in the woods. But get out your concordance. Figure it out. Let's see what God has to say about this. Inquire of the Lord. Every time David inquired of the Lord and he stopped, he had victory, right? When he didn't and he rushed in his own strength, what happened? Defeat. So this was a huge part of what I was doing. I was rushing in my own strength. So in Ephesians chapter 4, this is what God tells us. Now this I say and testify to the Lord. Did I put that up there? Oh, no, I didn't. That you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, we know from Galatians 2:20, we have been crucified with Christ. No longer we who live. He lives in us. Okay, that is kind of hard to really imagine. That's why we baptize, right? It is symbolic. I have died to who I used to be, and I have been risen to new life. So the carry that was broken and so damaged was crucified on that day, July 10th, 1977, right? But you know what? I kept living with the grave clothes on, didn't I? I just kept living in the old self. I was not living in my newness of life. So I don't know if any of you are like me, but I'm not great with phones. I wouldn't even own one if my husband didn't make me. I'm not kidding. But I drop this thing all the time. It is not pretty. I think this case is supposed to be good, but I did just replace it about a month ago. So I remember one time I dropped it and the whole screen just shattered. I mean, it was awful. And I was like, Lord, what are you telling me? Seriously, you have a message for me. So I went to the AT&T store and I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I dropped it again. So what they do, because I bought the Apple Care Plus, knowing myself well, and he said, okay, what I need you to do is I need you to take this phone and I need you to go to this setting and I need you to push restore. I need you to restore this phone to its original factory settings. Anything that had been done to this phone after that original factory setting was going to be wiped clean, right? This is what the Lord has done for us, you guys. Our original factory setting, the Garden of Eden, right? Perfect union with God, created in the image of God, holy, righteous, no sin, no sags, no anger, right? That is our factory setting. So restore is a very, very powerful word in my world. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Do a word study on the word restore. It is so powerful. So in Colossians 3, 12 and 13, it says, put on then. I don't know that I put that up there. Nope. In Colossians 3, 12 through 13, it says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So put on. Every one of us in this room probably struggles with clothes, right? What are we going to wear today? You know? Why? Why do we struggle with that so much? There is something, I think it's probably in the original sin from the fall, that was part of our curse. You know, you're going to struggle with what you wear. What image are you presenting? You know, we want to be modest. We want to, but look presentable. We want to, I mean, all these things in our clothes somehow have become such an issue for us as women. So what are we putting on? What are we putting on every day? You know, I know we put so much effort and money and time into like these actual things that are going to burn someday. We do. You know, I went to the mall one time. I hate going to the mall. I never go to the mall. But I went there just to like do a little like observing. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching people as they walk by and I'm thinking, okay, I can waste so much time thinking about what I put on as though people are looking at me, right? No. And I just watched as people walked by. Oh, I love it. I literally love humanity. I could talk to anybody, anywhere for like 5 hours and have so much fun and hear God's story about their life. But you know what I didn't notice about everybody that walked by? I didn't notice what they had on. I was looking at their eyes. I was looking at their smile. I was imagining what their personality was like, what their story was like. And I thought, I bet that person, like, shopped a long time for that outfit. They were really careful at picking it out. They chose those shoes. They did their hair a certain way. They chose that baseball hat, whatever it is. Why? Because they think that's what matters. I mean, we all kind of, that's where our world puts emphasis. But it's not. And it was really enlightening. Like, I'm not even noticing that. Why do I give so much time to this in my life? So what if I walk into my thought closet and all that's hanging in there is this? All that I have to put on in a day is performance, self-loathing, bitterness. These are all things that were in my thought closet for a long time. Unforgiveness, insecurity, shame, failure. So, y'all, that is what I want you to think about. What is in your thought closet? What are the lies that are in there? The soundtrack that just keeps playing and playing and playing that you're not even turning on. You know who's the father of lies? The enemy. Okay? And he, early on in our lives, and I was a psychology major, I love the way the brain works. The way that God designed our brain, the initial imprint that's made in our brain, I used to teach Montessori, if anybody knows anything about the Montessori. The first way you show a child how to do something, that's the way they will do it. That was very convicting to me. Because I wasn't very intentional. I would like, come on, we're in a hurry, right? Get in the car. And throw your shoes over here and throw your coats over here. And I wondered, why don't my kids pick up after themselves? Because I wasn't intentional to teach them. Your shoes go here. Your coat goes here. Very slowly. Okay? Well, here's the problem. In our home of origin, that initial imprint on our brain is so powerful. So the initial imprints on my brain were not, Carrie, you are loved no matter what. They were not, Carrie, it's okay to make mistakes. It does not define who you are. That is not. It was, Carrie, when you perform, that's when you're lovable. Everything was a competition. Everything was about putting your best foot forward. Those were the initial imprints, you guys. But here's the awesome news. Our brains are pliable. God was also really, really, really awesome in the way he made our brains. They're pliable. They can change. It just takes a little more effort. And the best counselor I've ever had in my whole life has been the Holy Spirit. It has been God's word, and I'm not kidding. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. We also know from Isaiah 55, God's word will never return void. It's a mystery. I don't understand it. I don't know how when I open my Bible and I am in there, God does something. I mean, I have laid on my floor with my hands out and cried out to God, I need to forgive my abuser. But I can't. There is nothing in Carrie, in my flesh, that can or wants to. But I want to out of obedience to him, right? So God, you take your hand and you reach into me and you extract that root of bitterness and unforgiveness. You have to do it for me. And you guys, he has. He totally has. And you know the coolest thing? That same year I was praying for Joy was the year I was able to forgive my abuser. And I had been praying and struggling with this for 30 years in my life. And as I'm laying on the floor crying out to God, reach your hand in there, Lord. Extract this root of bitterness and unforgiveness. I don't want it. It's killing me. This is what the Lord impressed on my heart. He said, Carrie, I want you to call this man, and I want you to ask him for forgiveness. Okay, this man was a part of my life every day. Not every day, but part of my family. And I did. I called. Because I'm a believer and I have the Holy Spirit in me. And this person is not. And I walk with the Lord and I know God's commands. And yet I hung on to bitterness and unforgiveness almost as a badge. I mean, I didn't want to, but I did. And y'all, I don't understand what happened in the heavenlies. I don't know, but all of a sudden I knew all I was responsible for was my relationship with the Lord. It was all about my vertical relationship. And when I spoke those words to this man, will you forgive me because I have been so bitter and I have held on to unforgiveness? To an unbeliever, they don't know what to do with that. But y'all, something in the heavenlies happened. What was loosed on earth was loosed in heaven. And you know what? I had nothing but compassion for that person from that moment on. And it was nothing that Carrie did. Nothing. I could have never done that on my own. Okay? Every one of us in this room has some wound or probably some bitterness or something that you think, I can't do this. It sounds great. It sounds super spiritual to say I want to do this. I can't do it on my own. So we have to trust the Holy Spirit. We have to trust that that's what God wants to do. So, I want to see what time it is. What time do we have? Okay, it's almost noon. I want to go back to the Japanese author Kondo, who instructed exposing things to the light, right? Lay your stuff out. Literally lay them out on the floor. You can see them for what they are, and then you can determine, do they bring me joy? Do the thoughts that play in my head all day long, do they agree with what God says about me? What does God say about me? So this is what I've learned, is when I realize I maybe am a messy person by nature, you know what? That's okay. God made me. I'm a people person, right? God comes alongside of me in my weakness, and he says, so Carrie, you're never going to be an accountant. You're never going to be someone who sits behind a desk. But you know what? I'm going to help you learn just enough so you can manage your home, you know? And he came alongside of me, and he helped me. And I can't be good enough, you guys, so he is. And what I love, 2 Corinthians 12:9 is my life verse, because when Paul has that thorn in his flesh and he goes to God and he says, please take this from me. I don't want it. I don't want it. All of us do that, right? We have something that we're bad at or it just causes us grief. Lord, take this from me. You know what he says? No, this is a gift. You know what? When you're weak, Carrie, that's when I get the most glory. That's what he says. And when you're weak, I'm strong. And you know what then Paul says? Awesome. Then I will boast in my weaknesses. So I went from being a child who grew up in an alcoholic home where you don't tell anybody what's going on inside. Never once in my life until my husband did I tell anybody that I was abused, that there was alcoholism. Never. Not my best friend, not my boyfriend, nobody, no teacher. But you guys, I am now a woman that's like, anything that you see in me that God has set me free from, it is because he is big enough. He is. And you know what? I don't want any glory. I don't. In my weakness, if God gets all the glory, and if one of you walks out of here today and says, there is hope for me, if that girl can figure out how to overcome bitterness and unforgiveness and anger with her kids and critical spirit, and I could go on, the list is pretty long, but if one of you walks out of here today and says, my God is big enough for whatever my hurdle is, you have no idea the joy. We know that we are new creations, that the old has gone and the new has come, you guys. And we need to start walking in that newness of life. So I'm going to end. You can't really see this very well, but when my daughters went off to college, I had a friend make these. This is all from 1 Peter, so I'll have to read it. You guys can come and look at it afterwards. But these are I am statements. There's a lot of I am statements. If you've never done a study on your identity in Christ, what he says about you, highly encourage it. I'm just going to read some of these that are from 1 Peter. I am an obedient child. I am redeemed and ransomed. I am not conformed to former ignorance. I am obedient to truth. I am honorable. I am a living stone rejected by men. I am imperishable. I am cared for by God. I am a partaker in glory. I am holy and I am godly. Not because of anything that Carrie did, but all because of what Jesus has done. Larry Osborne, in his book Accidental Pharisee, says this. So focus with me, because I know you're tired. You've listened to a lot of speakers today, so engage your brains for a second, because this is, you know, other authors are kind of hard to follow, but it's a really good quote. When the radicalness of my commitment or the extent of my personal sacrifices become the means to receive or maintain God's acceptance and approval. Does it make sense? So when it's up to our commitment, you know, or our sacrifices, that's the means that we either gain or keep God's acceptance and approval, then the good news of the gospel is no longer good news to anybody except for those who excel in those things. No, that is not what the gospel says. The gospel does not say it has anything to do. Our salvation has nothing to do with what we do. It's all about what he has done. Y'all, preach the gospel to yourself every day. And every time that you mess up, tell yourself this. This is why Jesus had to die. Because I can't do it. Every time your kids mess up and they, Mom, I messed up. I cheated on a test. Well, this is why Jesus had to die, honey. You think I'm kidding. My kids got 2 days in school suspension for cheating on a test. That is why Jesus had to die. And you know what? I am so grateful that God is faithful enough to point out to my children that they need a Savior. How many of us in here could produce Pharisees? Self-righteous Pharisees that walk around and be like, well, I got it all together. I mean, I know how to perform. I am all about the outward behavior, and their heart is so far from God. Y'all, let your kids make mistakes, because it is the best time ever to point them to the gospel. Give them grace when they fall flat on their face. That's what they remember about you. That's what they remember is your response when they mess up, and tell them, you know what? It's okay to fail. Because it reminds you of your need for the gospel. You guys, preach that to yourself every day. Have more realistic expectations of yourself. So when you guys go to a wedding, how many of you in here go to a lot of weddings? I go to a ton. We have 1,500 college students we work with. I probably get an announcement, it seems like, once a week. And then my husband does a lot of weddings, and we do a lot of premarital counseling. Okay? When you go to a wedding, do you have to wonder who the bride is? No? You don't look around at everybody? I wonder which one the bride is. Nope. How come? Because why? She's wearing a dress. She is totally dressed differently. Her attire, right? So, this is awesome. I got this out of my closet. Okay, so this was my veil. Okay, and I actually did this, which, don't ask me why, it almost caught on fire walking down the aisle. I am not kidding. The aisle was very narrow, and I had these candles, and my dad's a very large man. And I was like, so close. On the video, it's like, how did she not go up in flames? I don't know. Okay, so I got this out of my closet, and my sweet 9-year-old Beck says, Mom, what if that doesn't fit you anymore? No worries, honey, it's just the veil. So what I want to tell you, this is very powerful, you guys. Does the bride adorn herself so that the groom will choose her? No. He's already chosen her. I just got goosebumps from head to toe. Y'all, he's already chosen her. She does it because she's so grateful that she's been chosen. She wants to adorn herself with the most amazing earrings and makeup, and she works out maybe. I don't know. But you don't have to wonder, because she's adorned because the groom chose her. She doesn't go there that day saying, I sure hope he still likes me. No. Y'all, this is why we adorn ourselves. Not because so that he will choose us, but because he has. So I'm going to put up my dorky wedding picture. There we are. My big hair and puffy sleeves. Amen. I did watch that in ninth grade. I woke up at 4 a.m. So, here is the truth about Carrie. Here are the things that I do have in my closet now. You guys, I love playing with my children. Apart from my I am statements that I meditate on and I renew my mind with, I don't focus on the negative. It's almost a joke in my house now. Right, okay, so mommy does not do laundry. You know what I did do? I taught my kids how to do laundry. I taught my kids how to unload dishwashers, take out the trash. My children could run the house because I knew I couldn't. So see, God used one of my weaknesses for his glory. And my daughter-in-law someday are going to kiss my feet. I love reading out loud to my children. I love God's word. I could talk about Jesus all day long to anybody. Okay? There are gifts God did give me. And this is what I do have hanging in my closet that I have to work with, right? I am real. I am vulnerable. I have overcome by God's grace this performance mentality. I love my husband. And in this world, that is rare. I'm not afraid of conflict. I grew up in the most awful, abusive conflict. But by God's grace, he has taught me how to communicate, how to stand up for myself, and not end up like my mom. So I want you to leave today knowing this. God does not demand perfection in any of us, you guys. Why? Because he knew we couldn't be. That's why he was perfection for us. He's not sitting there going, Carrie, I just really wish you'd measure up today. No. He knew I couldn't live that way, right? He gave us the law. Why? To expose our sinfulness. So we knew we needed a savior. If he thought that I could, you guys, he wouldn't have come to earth to die for me. So when you all go back home, I do want you to take some time to really think about what's in your thought closet. On the back of that card, and don't do this right now, but although I guess you do have a little bit of time, on the back of that card, so obviously you didn't know what I was probably going to talk about. I don't know what you wrote on the front of the card, but it is maybe revealing. It should reveal something about, I could take this thing off now, huh? It does reveal something about where you stand. Not where you stand, how you perceive God, okay? If your note to yourself was, Carrie, I am so delighted in you. You are my daughter. You are righteous. You are holy. You are dearly loved. And I am crazy about you. That is the truth right there, y'all. If you wrote something like I may have written at some point in my life, Carrie, when are you going to get it together? Really? I gave you my word. Why can't you be in it more? Why can't you stop yelling at your children? If that is your first thought, y'all, my encouragement is go to God's word and ask him to show you how he sees you. Because you know what he sees you? He sees you as the bride. You are beautiful. You are adorned. And you are covered in the blood of Christ. Let me pray for us. Gracious God, I love you so much. It is incredibly humbling to receive the gift of salvation. Because our world tells us we have to earn everything. But Lord, we didn't have to earn that. You literally hold it out to us as a gift, and we only have to receive. So, Lord, today, if there's anybody in this room that has not truly received your gift of salvation, Lord, I pray that they would take time this weekend to just do business with you and to pour their heart out to you. Lord, thank you so much for these hearts that are here. Thank you for all the gifts, Lord, that you have given these women. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks, you guys.